You're listening to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie, episode 31.
Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Hey, friends. I hope everyone is having a great day out there, and I want to set up this episode. It is with Lieutenant Liz DiGiovanna and her daughter, Kiyomi. Now, you might be wondering, why did I have a mother-daughter combination on the episode? The reason for that is that I wanted to get the perspective. Now, Kiyomi is 19 years old, but I wanted to give you the perspective from a daughter or a son, essentially a child's perspective of what work-life balance was for the parent, as well as what it meant to them as when you show up to their sporting events or dance recitals or anything like that. So I thought it was a great opportunity to bring a mother-daughter, by the way, much of her time as a single parent. So this is for single parents out there as well. And Lieutenant Liz is law enforcement. She's a firefighter and she's EMS as well in her department because they serve all three areas of first responder there. So with that, let's move right into the episode. I think you're going to really enjoy this one. All right, welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie, and I would very much like to welcome Lieutenant Liz DiGiovanna, and I'm trying my best on that. And
no, you did great.
And you know what? We have the most special guest along with Lieutenant Liz, and that is her daughter, Kiyomi. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
All right, and so Lieutenant, if you would, I read up a little bit on your bio, as I always do, and things like that, and we actually met on LinkedIn a little while ago, but you're in the Bay Area, I understand, correct? Sunnyvale?
I am, yes.
And if you would, I mean, because I think your background is so interesting, because when we talk about public safety, which, of course, is, you know, I serve first responders, is that you have worn several hats as a public safety officer, haven't you?
Absolutely. That's the beautiful thing about our department in Sunnyvale is that we actually have an opportunity to be all three professions in one career. So we get trained in law enforcement, go to a police academy, get trained in fire services, go to a fire academy, get trained in EMS, go to an EMT academy. And that way we're prepared to serve our community in any one of those disciplines.
Wow. That is so interesting.
It's such a cool job. Very cool job.
Now, tell us a little bit about where you're serving today and what you're doing professionally.
Sure. So a couple years ago, I was appointed to our Office of Emergency Services. And I point out that it was a couple of years ago because as my luck would have it, it was just before the COVID-19 pandemic hit. So I was happy in the firehouse with my crew fighting fires, and I get the call to go to OES. And then soon after, we have one of the, you know, largest national emergencies that our city has seen. So I got to experience that firsthand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you were working quite a bit, I would imagine.
Oh, yes. Some very long days when the pandemic hit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, talk to me a little bit about the other hats you wear outside of work. And that's where Kiyomi comes into play.
Yes, absolutely. So I have an interesting background. I find it a little bit unique amongst my coworkers. I came into this profession at a little bit older of an age. So I've always been interested in law enforcement, but I never really took that leap until I was 27 And by that time, I was like a dinosaur in my police academy, right? Like all these kids are 20, 21, you know, just getting out of college, ready to start their career. And I was a little bit older. And I was also a mother, and I was a mother of two. So I was a single mom in all three of these academies. It presented very different challenges than the rest of my classmates. So that whole process was very interesting for me. And that's really how my story began. So I decided to take this jump, and my kids, not that they had a choice, but they were right along with me for the ride. We had some interesting times, but it's turned out well for us. So nothing but good things to say as far as my decision to finally follow what, you know, what I really felt was my calling.
Now, for our other single parents out there, and you said you're a single mother back then when you started. Just to clarify, are you single today?
Well, Donnie, that's something that's changed recently. My husband and I are going through a divorce. So I did come to Sunnyvale, which is completely was foreign to me at the time. So I was born and raised in Sacramento. I didn't know a single soul in Sunnyvale. I didn't know a soul at DPS. This was a huge leap for me and for my kids. But I did end up meeting my husband, having a very good relationship for about 7 years before we decided mutually and amicably to end the marriage. And I'm sure we'll talk about that. But yeah, so I find myself stepping back into single motherhood and trying to navigate what that's going to look like for me now that I'm fully involved in this profession.
Yeah. Well, tell me about back when you were 27, you entered the academy, single mother of two. How old were the children?
Oh my gosh. You're going to make me do math. Aren't you? 11. Let's see. 11. You were 11. Mm-hmm. And then she has a younger brother. He was five years old.
Okay. Very good. And what is your brother's name, Kiyomi?
Nico. N-I-K-K-O.
And Kiyomi, so at 11, you remember your mom going to the
academy, right? Yeah.
All right. And, but you didn't know anyone else, basically, right? You said you didn't know a soul in Sunnyvale. How did you do it? Where were the kids? How did you get help? I mean, you know, because with single parents out there, if they're listening, if you think about it, yeah, I mean, it's a challenge. And I think even more so single parent as a first responder.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely not, it wasn't an easy decision to make to leave behind everything that I knew. The city I grew up in, my family, I have a huge family, a great support system in Sacramento. So to leave that, to follow this path was very difficult. But like I told you, Sunnyvale's unique. You get to be police, you get to be fire, you get to be EMS. We didn't have an agency like that in Sacramento. So if I wanted to pursue the three professions, I had to leave. So I was very lucky that my family was so supportive. They took care of my children during the school year while I was in training in Sacramento. And then I essentially every Friday night, I stayed locally in Santa Cruz. And I drove home to Sacramento every Friday night after my academy ended. And I drove to the academy very, very early on Monday morning. So from Sacramento to Sunnyvale, it's about a 2.5 hour drive in traffic, 2.5 mm-hmm. to 3 hours. So I had some long Fridays, some long Mondays. It's a 2-year training program, pretty much.
Yeah.
So we dealt with it that way. Luckily, the family stepped up and I was able to pursue my dream.
Sounds like you have some close family.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been able to do it without them for sure.
Well, Kiyomi, let's hear from your perspective. What was it like?
It was difficult. Change is always difficult. But I just felt like I had all like the skills necessary to really like go on to this new school and this new life and be able to you know, socialize and make new friends and kind of thrive on my own. And it also gave, it was kind of exciting, like at the same time that it was scary, it was exciting that I was going to be around these new people and we were going to have a new house and we're so close to the beach and there's Great America. Like it was, there's so, it was very exciting and new and fresh, but at the same time it was scary, but I did know that I would be able to navigate myself through it. And especially with the help of my mom.
Yes. Yes. Oh, very nice. Well, Liz, we talk about how, you know, this is called the Get Balance program and work-life balance. And I always like to share with the listeners my research and my definition of work-life balance. And that is essentially, it's more than a question. And it's essentially, it's, are your day-to-day behaviors in alignment with your priorities in life? And a lot of times I say that, you know, if you feel like they are, we generally are feeling pretty good about things, you know, and if we feel like they're not, then sometimes we don't feel that well. But when you think about that, that type of definition about our day-to-day behaviors in alignment with our priorities in life, and I think, you know, going to the academy and doing the Friday month, you know, over the weekend back in Sacramento, I mean, you know, some people may say, oh, wow, that's not balance, but I thinking of it as, wow, you had your priorities, you know, you had your goal, your children were well taken care of, you made the effort constantly going back and forth, you know, you had your priorities set and you implemented, and that I think is awesome. But was there ever a time, or has there been a time where you sort of felt like you've been a little bit of out of balance and had to sort of stop and check yourself maybe a little bit and say, wait a minute, what are those priorities in my life and where am I headed?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would say that that's an everyday question that I have to ask myself. You know, my journey didn't stop when I graduated from the academy. It continued. That's when the real challenges began. The foundation was laid, and yes, the balance was great. I went to work. I was able to focus on work for, you know, the first 5 days of my week. And then when I went home, there was a lot of studying that needed to be done, but I was, for the most part, able to be present with my kids. When it came to the point that I felt secure enough in my job to move the kids out here with me, that's when the real challenges began. Because at that point, I want to say I got complacent when it came to the work-life balance. I had my goal in mind, I reached my goal, then my kids came, and I didn't do a good job transitioning to having to balance both. I had that firm divide when I was in training. Weekdays are for this, weekends are for this, right? Yep. And there wasn't a whole lot of crossover. So I did feel balanced. But when I had to do both at the same time and by myself without the family support that I had in Sacramento, that was really difficult. And I mean, I'll tell you, it's an everyday battle. It's hard.
Yeah. Do you remember those days, Kiyomi?
You know, it's... I can kind of remember. I just remember, I'm trying to think. I'm sorry, this was so long ago. Obviously she was really working so hard and it was showing. We had like an awesome house, an awesome everything. And you know, it was weird not having our mom around or as present, because she was always, you know, working so hard and doing all this. But even at that age, I kind of understood that this was all for the better and that good things were going to come of this and that she was, you know, trying her best and that she was dealing with a lot. Obviously police, fire, EMT, that's a lot of stuff on one person's plate. So I think it was just different.
Well, very good. Very good. Now, Liz, one of the things that in my research, what I looked at is that self-care plays such a critical component of work-life balance, meaning how well are we taking care of our physical needs, our psychological, our social, and our spiritual. And we think of physical needs, you know, for, especially for first responders, you know, we have the physical need of diet, exercise, sleep, things like that, right? What have you done in your career to try to stay on top of that? You know, has self-care been important to you? Was that always a priority for you?
No, not at all. Not always, Donnie. Like, survival was the priority for me. Not having enough hours in the day at working graveyards and then taking the kids to their games on Saturday and not being able to sleep in between. That was the priority. I was in survival mode for a very long time. I just, in the last few years, started to really center myself around self-care, coming up with the morning routine, you know, doing the same thing every day, starting my day the same way every day. That has just become a priority recently. It's something I wish I would have figured out a long time ago, for sure.
What kind of results are you getting from that routine? How's it making you feel?
Yeah, my energy level is just different. You know, it completely depends on the way that I start my day. In the morning, not checking my phone, not checking my computer, you know, giving some time to myself, working out. I've noticed, especially probably in the last year, if I don't start my day with a workout, the rest of my day is kind of shot. I mean, I just don't have the same energy level. I just don't have the same motivation unless I give myself that time. And then at night, same thing. I have, you know, a nightly routine. I make sure that I'm in bed by a certain hour. I make sure that I stop using my phone by a certain hour. I've really gotten back into reading and into journaling. That's something that I've brought back into my life probably within the last 6 months.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Without sharing specifics, can you share some themes or ideas that you spend time journaling about?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, gratitude is huge. It's so easy in our profession to get caught up in negativity. I will say on the law enforcement side, right? We're not showing up to people's houses because they're having a good day. So that becomes taxing. It wears on you after a while. It became noticeable to me in my attitude going to work. I was tired. I was burnt out. I was slipping into a place where, I wasn't sure how helpful I could be to people because I wasn't helpful to myself. My own attitude needed adjusting. So how could I be there for anybody else if I wasn't right in my own spirit? So at night, I journal pretty much a gratitude list, you know, everything that I was grateful for that day. And sometimes it's like as simple as, what I ate for dinner. I mean, it's not anything profound. It's just something that I want to acknowledge that was good that came out of the day. And then I start my morning before I check my phone, reading over what I was grateful for the day before. And then talking, you know, about what my goals are going to be for that day. It's just something that really helps me. I like to write. That's how I learn. That's how I retain things. So the more I write, the more positive I end up feeling after I get those words on paper.
Yeah. And it's that part of that psychological self-care, right? Sounds like
exactly. You're
journaling for that. And then it makes you feel good. The gratitude piece, right? Makes for a better day and all of that. Take me back to the exercise piece though. So for some people that do not have regular exercise thinking, oh my gosh, I have no more energy left to exercise. I'm exhausted. There's no way I could exercise. But wait a minute, Lieutenant Liz, you're saying exercise gives you more energy? What are you talking about?
It's crazy the way that that works. I know. Trust me, I wasn't a believer until I was a believer. I know what it's like not to have enough hours in the day, but I force myself out of bed in the morning. So, and I follow other podcasts. I follow other authors, and Jocko Willink has this thing. It's called the 5 a.m. Club, right? So yeah. I really started to subscribe to that. I get up, I make time for my exercise, and somehow, miraculously, I make it through the day with, enough energy to get me through.
Absolutely. Now, there is absolutely physiological connection between the exercise as well as the gratitude. All that produces more energy and all of that. Now, Kiyomi, has that exercise routine, the 5 a.m. Club, are you a member?
I definitely am, more so when I was going into in-person school and I had to be up by a certain hour. It was waking up at 5:30, but now that everything's online and our classes are later, I get to wait a couple hours, 10:30, which is really nice. Working out in the morning is a great way to start your day. Just get everything flowing, everything good. You clear your mind. It's good for your, good for everything. I love working out in the morning.
Yeah. Now, Kiyomi, your mom mentioned a little bit about how when she was pushing, did you use the word survival?
Oh yeah.
You did. I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but I thought I recalled that. But so she would give up sleep. She would not sleep because she wanted to make it to whether it's your game or your brother's game, right? Or practice or something. Did you ever notice that's what she was doing? Now that you hear about it now, what do you think of that?
It's crazy because I'm someone that really needs their sleep. But I never noticed. I really don't think I ever did. I knew she was studying. I knew she was up later than me, but I went to bed at like 8. So
yeah.
No, I thought she would just get a little read and go to bed at like 10. I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, Liz, a compliment would be when when a person makes the difficult appear simple, you know you're doing a great job. And that sounds like what you did, right?
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
You know, going without all that and sacrificing yourself, but you had your priorities and that's what you had. And speaking about that, if you think about, because I can tell the love between you and Kiyomi, is that, and you mentioned your family in Sacramento, what were your guiding and perhaps what are your guiding principles in life? What keeps you grounded and, what makes you, you, where did these principles come from?
You know, it's funny because people ask me all the time, well, you're a woman. I'm not physically, I don't look like a firefighter. I'm short. I'm not going to be in any weightlifting competitions or anything like that anytime soon. So people always ask me, well, was it a family member? And I have to tell you, absolutely not. I don't have a single family member that's in law enforcement or fire services. My family is in the tech field. I don't know where this calling, I don't know how else to describe it, came from. But the thing that always kept me in it and kept me grounded and kept me fighting for it was something that my grandpa would always tell me. And that's one, to be a lifelong learner, to never stop learning, and two, to live a life that you're proud of. And he was a principal for a school in Vietnam, and his, the theme of everything he ever taught me was to live a life serving others, because it will always be fulfilling, right? Your paycheck, a paycheck is only going to fulfill you for that month, right? Or whatever. I mean, but the giving back to somebody and impacting somebody's life in some way is going to make you immortal, basically. I mean, that's truly what he believed. So I had a lot of that ingrained in me. And I don't know what it was that drew me to this profession, but that's definitely the theme that kept me going.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And did you, you said he was a principal in where at?
Vietnam.
Vietnam. And yes. Did you spend much time with him?
I did. So he, my dad immigrated here in the 70s, and then later brought my grandparents over. But while I was in elementary school, my grandparents took me back and forth to school every day. So I spent the majority of my childhood with my grandpa.
Oh, nice. Nice. Now, the other things of self-care, you mentioned a little bit about the exercise at 5 a.m. Oh, by the way, a thought just came to my mind because you mentioned that you were short. But can you tell me how tall you are, please?
Yeah. So I have this debate with my daughter all the time, actually, because I try to say I'm taller than I am. I'm about 5'3".
The reason why I'm asking you that, if you listen to my episode with Robert Paparo, Pip, he's a firefighter and also the director of 555 Fitness. He is 5'2", 135 pounds.
See, that's inspiring to me. I like it.
Hey.
Maybe he needs to be a part of my morning routine.
You ought to check him out. Yeah, he does. And he does different group sessions throughout the week, like on YouTube, or I think it was YouTube. And I was going to do one with him and just a couple weeks ago, but I got my second Moderna vaccine. And it knocked me out for like 2.5 days, pretty much. It was horrible. That's a whole different story. So I had to tell him, I'm like, you know, man, I got 100-degree fever from this vaccine. I'm not gonna, you know, I can't do the workout. You
right.
Like that. But no, when you said you're short, it meant it reminded me of Pip, and because I remember him telling me, he goes, hey man, I had to get strong. I'm 5'2", 135 pounds. He goes, I need to be able to carry people out of a house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the other parts of self-care, if we think about, you know, your physical, and you mentioned about gratitude journal, is sort of taking care of that psychological and emotional piece sometimes. How do you do with the social side of things? And more specifically, my question would be, do you have friends outside of the first responder circle?
I'm so glad you asked me that. I do, is the short answer. But for the first probably 5 years of my career, I really found myself kind of ignoring my friends in Sacramento. There was definitely a separation. I was thrown into a different set of friends that related to me on a different level. You know, we were able to talk about work stuff. We were able to kind of go through the coping process of the things that we saw. And I felt very disconnected to my friends in Sacramento because they just didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
So for probably the first 5 years or so, it was all about work friends. And I realized later how much I needed to have my old friends, how much I needed to revisit my roots, how much I needed to go back to having friends outside of law enforcement. I didn't realize how important it was to have that perspective until later.
Now, when you realized that, how did you take the realization and the thoughts and actually put it into action?
You know, I'm very fortunate. I've had a group of five girls that I've known since I was 12 years old. We've always been friends. So even though we had that disconnection, it was very natural for me to come back to them. It was natural for me to, you know, start being a part of the group again. And they're good listeners. I'm very lucky. They still listen to my stories. But it's not everything that we talk. It's not everything that we speak, that we breathe. They're really able to bring me back to earth, you know, and to give me an outlet outside of work.
Yeah. Very nice. And then the last piece of self-care that I teach about is spiritual health or spiritual wellness. Do you have any, or do you spend any time on that spiritual side? Now, whether that could be prayer, meditation, going out in the beautiful Bay Area on a walk or anything like that. How do you connect with your spiritual side?
So I didn't grow up in a very religious household. My mom was Christian, but didn't really practice. And my dad was Buddhist, and he never really taught me what that meant. So I had to find religion on my own. And I think I was in like middle school when I started to take an interest in going to youth groups and to Sunday school with my friends. I tell people I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. I've taken some of the things that I've learned as a child and kind of incorporated them into what I've done as an adult when I was in my survival mode, which, you know, goes back to being mindful, meditating. It's kind of a combination of, you know, little things that I've picked up along the way. So I do pray every night. You know, I pray as I'm going to a call. I pray after the call, depending on, you know, the person that we helped. So I do find myself doing those things and then just trying to be as aware, as mindful as I possibly can in the other moments of my life.
Very nice. And then, Kiyomi, what do you think about those questions like the, so, well, first let's tell the listeners a little bit. Tell us about the activities that maybe you were involved in high school and things like that.
Okay.
Pandemic.
Pre-pandemic.
Yes,
exactly.
Pre-pandemic. I played varsity softball all 4 years, and then I did 1 year JV field hockey, 3 years varsity field hockey. I did 2 years of leadership. And then I was also just like really involved with like the pep squad, if you will, of my school, and really just getting that school spirit and, you know, getting everyone to come together and believe in something.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, excellent. Liz, what would you say are your toughest challenges today regarding work-life balance?
Oh, gosh. You know, it really hasn't changed. I would say it's just as much of a challenge now, and it really takes awareness to keep a line of separation between work and home. It's really hard to do. I would say right now is trying to balance my time. I feel so grateful to my job because it's given me the ability to have my daughter play sports and travel with her for sports and pay for her college and things like that. So I feel there's a loyalty to my job. I have to remember that there's also a loyalty to my children, and they need my time too, right? So it's not all about the things that I can give them. But the time that I share with them and the lessons that I can teach them, it's really hard. It's really, really hard to balance those two things.
Yeah. Kiyomi, how do you think your mom has done lately during your high school years with all those activities?
You know, I think she did a good job. I think she did her best, and you know, that's all you could ask of anyone. And it was, you know, there was like it was different from when we were younger, and it was just me and her, and she was, you know, the same age I am now. It just felt like we had more freedom as a family, and we could go on these nice trips. You know, I got to play for a great softball league and, you know, travel with my friends and play with my friends and compete competitively. And so I feel like she did such a good job. Like, I loved the way that I was raised and grew up, And, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Oh, that makes me feel so happy. I've actually never heard her say that.
Wonderful. Kiyomi, what did it mean to you that your mom, think about it, she wears the hat of law enforcement, of firefighter, of EMT. Yet she, and it, you know, stressful jobs, right? Stressful career. Yet she makes that time and prioritizes you and prioritized your activities, your softball. And if you're, Liz, if you told me you made it to every game, I would be like, what?
I definitely did not. I mean, I know. You're making me sound real good, Donnie, right now, but there were definitely some trying times.
Yes. I mean, it's just too hard, right? And, right. But Kiyomi, what did that mean to you that your mom participated and wanted to participate and showed up and was there supporting you?
It meant a lot because she was all three of those things. And there's so many people that need her time and there's so many things she's giving her energy to. And, you know, she's working these 12, 13, 14 hour shifts. And there's just so much that she had on her plate already. Like the fact that she was able to step out of that and come to a high school softball game, like where we were like crushing it and, you know, it really wasn't that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things. It meant a lot. And it was always really nice when I did get to see her face out there. And it always did make me want to work that much harder, knowing that she was working so hard and still making time for things like this. Yeah. So it made me want to do my best at all times.
Outstanding. Liz, what are your priorities today?
Wow. Well, I mean, at the moment, I still go back to, you know, what my grandpa taught me, which is, you know, lead a life that you're proud of, and that's always going to be serving others. You're never not going to be proud of that. I feel like the three most important people that I need to serve right now are my children. You know, she's an adult, but she's still my baby. So she still needs me. And then I have two younger boys. And those are the three people that need my service the most. So prioritizing their needs and then everything, you know, comes after that. My family, my friends, my work. So those are what are important to me. And I know that now I know that I can't do any of those things unless I stick to my own self-care, unless I stick to my own routine, give myself that time, do the reflection that I need to do. I can't help them unless I'm helping myself. So that's been a part of my journey, a huge part of my journey.
You could be the spokesperson for the Get Balanced podcast with that.
Oh man, I don't know about that.
I'll tell you, that's what I preach about all the time. The better we take care of ourselves, the better we can serve our communities and our families.
Well, you know, it sounds so simple and it sounds like such an easy thing to do, but it's not. I mean, no. I have to constantly remind myself. And it took me years to learn.
Yeah. No, I understand. It's a whole change, you know, for the culture and everything. Cause as you've taken the oath in many different ways, a firefighter oath and law enforcement oath, but you know, the whole thing is about you take an oath to serve and protect the community. And I often say, yet we sometimes forget that we and our families are a part of that community.
Right.
And we serve others so much that, but we do need to serve ourselves. And with that, if there's a single parent out there, similar to you, Liz, what advice would you have for her or him?
Yeah.
That's trying to manage, you know, this stuff. I've had other single parents on the show and it's challenging.
Oh yeah. No, it's absolutely challenging. My advice would be, well, I like to tell people if I can do it, anybody can do it. Because like I said, I'm a 5'3" firefighter. So, if I can do it, anybody can do it. You know, stay with it, follow your passion. When you do, nothing feels like work. You know, I love my job. I love, what I do. I love being able to offer service there and then still have enough left over to offer, you know, the service that I'm responsible to my family, to my children. I would say that, you know, consistency is key. And of all the things that you need to persist in, the most important would be to take care of yourself, give yourself that time. And yeah, you know, 5 a.m. comes really quick, but I'll tell you what, it made the difference in my life. I don't always want to get up at 5 o'clock. You know, I do sometimes hit the snooze until 5:30. I mean, that does happen. I don't want you to think that, you know, I've got everything all figured out over here, but, giving myself that time, giving myself grace, I'm not always going to get it right. Some days I'm going to come home and I'm in a bad mood and I'm going to snap at the kids and I'm going to regret it later. I don't get it right all the time, but we have to forgive ourselves for that. And we have difficult jobs. It takes a toll on us. But as long as you're reminding yourself of all the things that you have to be grateful for, and if you're a first responder and a parent, if you're a first responder, period, if you're a first responder and a single parent, there are a million things to be grateful for. So being mindful of that, reminding yourself of that, giving yourself time, giving yourself grace, understanding that, you know, you're not perfect. You know, sometimes it's easier to solve other people's problems than it is to solve our own. I've always thought that that was very interesting, especially from a law enforcement perspective. But remember that, you know, you might not have your life figured out, but to that person who called you for help, you got them through theirs. Does that make sense? It's like you.
It absolutely does.
You don't have to have all the answers to somebody. Mm-hmm. You are their answer. And we have to appreciate that about ourselves and remind ourselves when we get into these low points, because it does happen often.
It does. And you said something that you said, we must forgive ourselves. And that is something that I teach in my workshop, self-forgiveness. Because it was something that I did not learn until I was 43, I think it was, years old.
That's still earlier than lots of people,
right? A long time.
Some people go their whole lives and don't forgive themselves. But gosh, I mean, we are so hard on ourselves.
We are. And that it took my wife. Now, see, I had divorced and I was a single father of 4 children. So my wife left and I kept the children, and they were 6, 8, 14 and 15, 16. And house sort of ransacked on the exit. And I also got the 2 dogs. Yes. But it was challenging, you know, expect like washer and dryer was taken, you know, just half the furniture, all that stuff, just very abruptly. Right. But, and not having any help though. And that was probably the toughest part. Not having that help, that other family support. And I look back at it and I'm like, wow, you know, I got through quite a bit, you know, and things like that to where, a couple years after that, then I remarried, and then that's when my wife today, she, after like first couple months, probably really a week, did something probably like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, you know, something like that. And I kept apologizing to her like all day. And she's like, if you don't stop apologizing to me, you're going to screw up the whole night. So, and she puts me in front of the mirror and she goes, you need to apologize to yourself because I've already forgiven you. You need to forgive yourself.
Wow.
And I was like,
powerful.
Wow, I had no idea. And then I thought about it. I was like, well, yeah, that does make sense. You know, she's already moved past it. And here I am moping around the house, you know. And but that forgive yourself is so powerful. And I'm talking about something simple, you know, just relationship type forgiveness. As law enforcement, as firefighters, as EMTs, you know, the weight of that forgiveness is so much heavier on a lot of the things that I know you experience.
Absolutely.
On shift.
Yeah.
But you know, I think the process is still similar. We still need to forgive ourselves.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
I absolutely agree. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And, you know, some things may be small, but you know what? Those small things add up. Yeah, mm-hmm. It might seem small and insignificant, but if you're not able to forgive yourself for those small things, they will pile up on you really quickly.
Yeah.
So, but I agree.
All right, Kiyomi, I'm going to put you on the spot. You ready?
Okay. Yes.
What are some of the greatest things you've learned from your mother?
I've learned a lot, but I think that number one was her strength. Like I've learned to be strong and strong for others you love, strong for yourself, strong for just to be a strong person, mm-hmm. and work ethic. Obviously phenomenal worker. And then probably lastly, oh gosh, it's hard to like pick work ethic. I'm in awe. Like it's so incredible that she was even able to do all that. And so it's just, she's definitely an inspiration in my life, just in every way possible. So it's hard to even kind of put it into words right now because it's just something that has driven me forward in every aspect of my life.
That's awesome. I love that statement. I'm in awe. Liz, you had to like that.
I know. I'm going to tear up over here. Well, I've never heard up.
That's like okay.
I tell her all the time, we grew up together. I was 19 years old when I had my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and I had her alone. So, you know, she says what she's learned from me. I feel like she's taught me more than I will ever be able to teach her.
Kiyomi, what's the best compliment your mom has ever given you?
Oh my gosh, being put on the spot. I think that one, what she just said, you know, that feels good. Obviously, I have her on such a high pedestal myself. So even being kind of brought up to the same level is like, you know, pat on the back. But
yes.
Also, just, I don't know. There's just so... compliments. I guess that one probably be the biggest.
Yeah. And what do you love most about your mother?
Her strength and grit, determination, just all that is something to admire, and it's awesome, incredible. Yeah. You know, so many people in her position don't get to where she is now. So it's really something that she is here and, you know, having this podcast, and it's just, she's awesome.
That's great. Now, Liz, you mentioned something at the beginning of the program, that you're going through a divorce.
Yes.
Don't want to dwell on that because we're such on a high note,
yeah.
But I feel like listeners are going to be like, hey, Dr. Donnie, what kind of podcast is that? You know, this is about work-life balance and all that and relationships. And you heard something at the beginning and you didn't go back to it. So if you would, anything you'd like to share with the listeners, you don't have to though.
Yeah, no. I don't mind at all. So you got into a great marriage, great friends. We will always be the best of friends. Everything with us is amicable. So again, I just completely lucked out. But I think where I failed in my marriage is giving up. So I worked so hard by myself with my kids. I worked so hard doing the work thing and the kids thing. When I had a partner in my life that I felt like I could depend on, I kind of gave him everything. I kind of unloaded on him and said, here, this is your job now. Now I need to focus on work. I need to promote. I need to get into this specialty position. I have you. You can help me with everything else. I left a lot of that responsibility on him. Because I wasn't conscious of it at the time, but I believe that when I was going through being a single mom and going to the academy, I had my goals. And then when I hit them, it was kind of like, okay, I'm done. I don't need to worry about the balance anymore. I made it. You know, this is it for me. All I have to do is just maintain. Then I got married and it was like, boom, I hit it. All I have to do is just maintain. And I got very complacent. I put way too much of the family life responsibilities on him and our relationship really suffered. So a lot of things that I, you know, would have done differently in my marriage that I, you know, hope to take to future relationships. Again, it's one of those things, like I have to forgive myself for it. Right. I know where I went wrong and I know what I'm going to change in the future. And that's where my head is.
Continuous improvement, continuous that's learning it. That you learn from your grandpa.
Lifelong learning, just like grandpa said. Yes.
That's right. You know, there was something I meant to ask you earlier, but I skipped over it. But that was, how well do you leave work at work? And do you have any tips or anything you could share? Because that is something in my workshops that I get every single time. Can you give me some ideas of how to leave work at work?
Gosh, I am horrible about leaving, and I'm being honest with you on this podcast. I would love to tell you that I figured that out. I have to make a conscious effort not to check my phone on the weekends and when I'm at games with kids. Part of just who I am and my work ethic is like, if you send me a text message or an email, I want to respond to it right away. That's just the person I am. So I struggle with that all of the time. I'm getting better. And I can tell you, I just got back from a week vacation with my daughter. I don't know. How many times did I check my email?
I don't know. I feel like there is a designated time every morning. Yeah. That is like work/school time. But it was nice because getting that over with in the morning, get our workout, our walk or whatever. And then, you know, the rest of our day was like ours to share.
Oh, that was great.
I give myself some grace. I know that it's difficult for me to completely disconnect, but I have 10 minutes starting now. I can check work emails. And then at the end of that 10 minutes, you're done for the day, or, you know, 10 minutes in the evening. So just putting a limitation on that helps me.
Yeah.
Helps me get balanced when it comes to that.
Very good. Well, Liz, with Kiyomi, since I asked her the greatest compliment, but what do you cherish most about your daughter?
Oh my gosh. She is so resilient and so mature for someone who's 19 years old. I mean, when she was talking about how she was 11 and she felt like she had the tools she needed to move to a different city, I'm like looking at her and I'm like, where did you come from? Right? Like what 11-year-old feels like they're just going to go and thrive. She is very confident. She is not scared of anything really. I mean, she just, she rises to every challenge. And I've thrown a lot at her. She had a child for a mother. I was 19 years old. I didn't had no idea what I was doing. She was part of my growth process, and I made a lot of mistakes, but I look at her now and she's been a great partner through this ride.
That's awesome.
I'm gonna cry. It's getting emotional. See?
And the journey is, I mean, it just got started.
I know. We still have a long ways to go. And well, now I'm excited to be able to support her dream, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, that's something that I've always envisioned would be my way of giving back to her.
Yeah. And one of the other things I teach in my workshops is that I call it the window of time. And I have, as I mentioned, I have four children, but I only have two that are left in the home, and they're juniors and seniors this year. So with my daughter, Gabriella, that's a senior, it's March. So I have about 5 months, and then she is going off to the ROTC. She's got a scholarship. So she's going to go that route. And so I know I have about 5 months left with her, and that's it. Right.
Yeah.
And same thing with my other daughter, Hannah, have about a year and 5 months left with her. And
right.
She goes somewhere. But when you think of the window of time, is there anything, I love the idea what you just said, you two went on a vacation. That is so cool.
Yes.
We're taking the girls on a, on their spring break here in a few weeks. And, so we're looking forward to that. But is there anything in your window of time when you think about it, you know, she's 19, that you really want to make sure that you try to do or while she's still with you there in the house and things like that?
Well, I think this last trip was, you know, step one. I've always wanted to travel with my daughter. I keep saying it, but, you know, childhood, I didn't get an opportunity to travel when I was younger. So I've always wanted to show my daughter, you know, different cultures, different countries, really get her out there and experiencing those things together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we didn't go very far for our last trip because we're in a pandemic, but that's definitely something that we're going to work on, is going on more trips together. And then I think, just enjoying her company and her conversation, I am realizing that, you know, she isn't going to live in my house forever, and she's got goals and she's got dreams, and I need to support those. Mm-hmm. So really soaking up moments like this, where we can sit, where we can talk, where we can go places together, is going to be very important to me over the next couple years.
Yeah. I love that. Soak up the moments.
Yes.
So true. So true.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, we're about at the end of the hour here. Is there anything that I did not ask you that you were hoping I would, or perhaps something we did not spend enough time on?
Think so?
No.
What do you think?
No.
Nope.
All right. Well, first I wanted to toss out to you. You did mention that you said a prayer before you go to a call and after a call. Would you mm-hmm. like to close out the podcast with a prayer for our first responders?
Absolutely. Okay. All right. It's so thank you. Lord, I thank you for our protectors, for those that have chosen to serve us, Lord, and to put themselves between harm and the people that they serve. I ask that you give them the strength, and physically and spiritually and mentally, to get through any obstacles that may present themselves today. I ask you to wrap your arms around those that protect us and those that serve us, and bring them home to their families. Amen.
Amen. Lieutenant Liz and Kiyomi, thank you so much for being my guest on the Get Balanced podcast.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, it was fun.
You are welcome.
I appreciate you and everything that you're doing too, Dr. Donnie.
Well, thank you. Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.